This is Sunday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Heim Goodman Strauss.
Good morning, Kyle.
Is with me. Good morning, Heim. Heim's a math professor at the University of Arkansas and is trying to teach us something about rumors.
Rumors. Well, so last week we had a problem that ended up being that a bunch of liars in a row. The last one, D, said that C was lying when he said that B was telling the truth that A was lying.
And what we know about Misters A, B, C, and D is that all of them tell the truth only one out of every four times they open
their
mouths.
That's right. And the real question is, okay, what is the probability that A was telling the truth? Did it, given all that information, generally speaking, is it going to be higher or lower than if A had actually said something, one in four?
It's got to be lower.
You mean you think it's more likely that he's lying?
Yes, because it's gone through all these other people who tend to be
Well, actually, sort of the way rumors work, and you could prove this mathematically with this example and others, is that actually the probability that what A is doing actually drifts towards the middle, that it's completely has the longer this chain is, the absolute less you can actually tell about what's actually going on, and the more the probability that A is telling the truth drifted towards 50%.
Really?
Yes, it's a remarkable.
So, in other words, if the National Enquirer reports something, and then the Weekly World News reports what the National Enquirer said.
And then the New York Times picks up on that. And
So what you're saying is believe half of what you read? Believe half of what you
hear. Well, actually, that's a really interesting point, too. That gets us to the principle of indifference, which is quite an important idea. So John Maynard Keynes, is that how you pronounce his name? I only know it from reading it.
Okay, no.
Is it Keynes?
I don't know.
Well, anyway. You know, the great economist who gave us, for example, deficit spending, had this wonderful principle that in the face of not knowing exactly what the probabilities of a bunch of things are without really any real information, you should assume they're all equally likely. So, for example, there's exactly, according to this principle, a 50% chance that there is life on Mars.
But we know better than that.
Right. So the principle of indifference obviously has some problems. But a lot of the times it really does work. If there really are situations where things are really going to be.
I take my car into a mechanic. I know nothing about cars. The mechanic lifts the hood and says, I don't know, your pistons are shot. There's a 50-50 chance I should believe that.
Right. So something's wrong with the principle of indifference.
Not to pick on mechanics. I'm just saying that's, you know, an area where I don't know anything.
Right. So here's a couple of...
Wait. Yeah? Can I get back to the principle of indifference?
Yeah.
How does that help us, this principle of indifference?
Well, I wish I knew that.
Oh, okay. Forget. I mean, the reason I ask is just, okay, so you have this principle of indifference.
Yeah.
But like you give the example of life on Mars. I mean, we know there isn't. There very, very likely isn't life on Mars now that we've studied it.
Oh, well, sorry. Well, here's a very typical example. I mean, suppose that we just want to roll a die. We don't really know that the die is particularly unfair or fair, but, you know, it's probably basically fair.
Sure.
Then we might as well assume that the probability that we get any particular number is exactly 1/6.
Exactly.
So that's
it's
what
as likely to come up 6 as it is 2.
That's right. So that's really what the principle of indifference is for.
Go ahead.
Got a couple of puzzles about the principle of indifference.
Fantastic. Okay.
Or sucker bets, as you might prefer.
Ooh, excellent.
So let's see here.
You brought props.
I have cards with me. So let me, here I've got two red tens and two black tens.
Spades, diamonds, clubs, hearts.
We're going to put them on the table and sort of mix them around. And I've got two pennies here. So we have four cards, two pennies.
Right.
And I want you to put two pennies, one card and one on another.
Just whichever ones.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That one and that
and
one.
And now the question this week, the puzzle this week is, what's the probability that the two pennies are on two cards of the same color, either both black or both red?
Oh, and we'll just leave this here for a week.
Yeah, I hope nobody minds.
No, well, I'll keep it and I'll move it over.
So okay. We placed four cards face down, and you pick two of them, and what's the probability that you pick two that are the same color? It could be, for example, you could say that it's 2/3. Because there's three possibilities, right? There's two blacks,
right,
two reds, or one black and one red.
So
that'd be a possible answer. Is it correct?
Yeah, but boy, that seems too high for me. Oh, we're going to look?
Let's take a look.
Okay.
Oh, well,
I did one black, one red.
Let's do it again.
Okay. See,
what was your...
I was just going to say it seems... If I was a betting man, I'd want higher odds. I would think it's less likely that I'm going to do it.
Less than
even
odds.
Well, because watch.
Uh-huh.
Put the penny down on that one.
Right. And now that was 50% that was black or 50% red.
But now I only have a 1 in 3 chance that I'm going to match. Because now there are 2 that work against me and 1 that works for me.
Ah.
So if I put it there.
That's an interesting way to think of it. So a third. But right. Here's another way to think of it. Suppose that first penny you put down was either black or red, and mm-hmm. the second penny you put down was either black or red. Mm. There are actually a total of 4 possibilities, black, 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 red, red, black, and red, red. So maybe it's exactly 50%. So anyway, that's the puzzle this week.
And you'll tell us what odds are that I hit both. Okay.
That's right.
This is Sunday, Ozarks at Large. I'm Goodman Strauss, who's a math professor at the University of Arkansas.